Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening, sports fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Red Sox Digest Live. I'm your host, Jim Delfino, and I am joined tonight by two of the finest Red Sox therapists this side of Yawkey Way, Nick Face and Nick Diamond. Your Boston Red Sox are sitting now with a record of 43-45, somehow still mathematically alive and spiritually dead, and we're here to break down it all. The good, the bad, and the bullpen. If you've got a take, got a rant, drop it in the chat. We want to hear from you. Strap in, crack a beer, and let's get into this mess. The Red Sox played two games yesterday, the balance of a suspended game in which they won 5-3 and lost the nightcap 8-4. Nick Diamond, let's start with you. What are your reactions globally to those two games? And what are your thoughts?
I kind of get why they used Bayo in the first game. Hindsight's 2020, would have made sense to use him in game two. I think he only threw about 60 pitches, and the Red Sox started to falter in game two in the seventh when Weissert was overworked. Hicks didn't have it, and then they started base running errors, defensive errors. It would have been nice to sweep that series, but still, the Reds are a decent team. They're better than you. They're taking 2 out of 3 is okay, but you got to go 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 6 of the next 6 here. So all in all, 2 out of 3 against the Reds isn't bad, but it was a series that easily could have been taken, all three of them, and we should have swept. But I'm not overly like disappointed right now.
Nick Face, your reactions to the
two games. I'm still pissed off from last night. I'm going to be completely honest with you. That game, they had no business losing that game, and they pissed it away because of poor managing. And once again, Alex Cora has to get in the way of everything. This was his little, we're just going to throw this one away. You knew you were doomed when Bernardino was your opener. You knew you were doomed. I got sucked in watching it, and I started feeling good. I'm like, all right, we got an inning in, what, a third out of Bernardino. Chris Murphy's looking good. And then the floodgates opened. Here comes Greg Weissert, who I still can't understand why he was put into this situation. Cora is going to physically lose this guy's arm. He is. It is sickening on what he is doing to managing this team. That was an inning I would have went with either Whitlock or Hicks. And I don't want to hear people out there saying, oh, well, you know, you're saying this now after the fact. No, I'm not. I'm managing the game to win. This was not the situation for Weissert to come into the game. Give it to Hicks. Give him a full inning of sorts. Give it to Whitlock. And then I don't give a crap. Put Chapman back in. Put him in. You got a day off today. Rest up. Get ready for the morning game tomorrow. I am so sick and tired of pissing games away. I'm sick of it. I'm angry.
Yeah, you can't lose games that you need to win. And, you know, we've discussed this quite a bit about the fact that you were in this 9-game stretch and you really had to go 8-1, 7-2 to really feel like this team had an opportunity and a chance to really go deep in this season and show the fans and show everybody that they are a possible contending team. And when you blow games that you're supposed to win, and I'm not saying that the Reds are a trash team, they're not. And they're managed by one of the best managers in the game. But, you know, you were up 3-0 in the late innings, and you've got to be able to close that down. You can't lose games when you're up 2, 3, 4 runs like that. It's just absolutely terrible. Question for you, obviously, with that in mind. So Strand had that grand slam. What's your level of concern regarding the state of the bullpen? And do you think that it's just a blip, or do you think that, you know, we're in for some further trouble?
Nick Diamond. I think the bullpen is fine, but it's going to get worse in a few weeks when Chapman's traded. I think it's almost a guarantee that he's gone. He's performing as well as he's ever had in his career, and he's probably a Hall of Famer. I think you can get a haul for him, and you might as well just trade him. This team is not good enough to keep a back-of-the-end closer on a sub-500 team. It's just not when you can get... He's probably going to be the most coveted reliever on the market. So as soon as he's gone, you're going to have to bump it. Hicks probably back in the closer. Whitlock's going to go back to that two-inning guy. And Slayton, we're going to rush back. And then the bullpen's going to become a real problem when it's super overworked and you're down a guy. So that's when the bullpen will become a real issue.
Nick Face, I know you're kind of talking about it a little bit, but what do you?
I'm furious with how it's getting managed with this team. The second half isn't even here, and these guys are already lead the league in innings pitched. It's disgusting. And that is because we've had no depth at times with our starting pitching, because you have to bail out the likes of Walker Buehlers, who just gets lit up every time he's thrown out there. You're just not going to have anything left. We've seen this so many times. It's Groundhog Day every season. The first half, the bullpen keeps you going and makes you feel decent and has a little bit of spark. And you're like, look at Weissert. Oh, he's pretty good. Oh, look at Slayton. He's pretty good too. And then they get hurt and then they fall apart. It's like broken miscellaneous parts all over the place. They can't be fixed. It can't be fixed. They're going to go to the junkyard.
I want to specifically talking about the performances by Brian Bello and Willier Abreu. What impressed you the most about both of them? And how important do you think both are going to be for the second half of the season? Nick Face, I'll start with you.
The biggest thing on Bayo on the difference is maturity. I even look at that home run that was given up yesterday. That was a case that happens last season or the year prior. He implodes. Everything is thrown off for him. Mentally, Bayo is tougher right now. He's figuring it out. He's understanding. Don't sweat the little things. You still have an entire game to throw. So don't let everything get all out of whack if it all doesn't all go your way. That's the biggest change on Bayo and why his season so far has been great. Why I actually have a little bit of glimmer of hope here with Bayo is that second half over the long haul is typically when he's at his best. So if we're already seeing right now, first half Bayo's been half decent, what's second half going to do? So I'm looking more towards a really good season for him, to tell you the truth out of it. I think we're turning a corner here, and I'm starting to feel like I can sit there and get through and watch and know that's going to be all right with Bayo. On Willier Abreu, the more he's playing, the more I like. I've said a couple times before, it's the swing that's a very long for me. I still think that he swings out of his butt. I do. I think if he shortens up his swing and goes and figures out a little bit more on how to handle that left field monster, I think you got a guy who could be one of the better outfielders on your crew right now. The biggest thing here is how can he develop more against left-handed pitching? I'm not in this for a platoon. I'm just not. I just don't want to see it. You know, you got to have big decisions to make with your Durans. We got to keep, you know, he's still here. So that's why you still have decisions to make. Whether he's here or not, you still have Duran. You got Rafael in center. You've got Yoshida rehabbing and figure all that mess out. So and of course, Roman Anthony. You don't have many places to put these guys. So something's got to give here. And I would love if long-term here, Willier Abreu is your guy. He's got the glove. I want to see what the bat can do more.
Nick Diamond, same question to you. Your reactions on what you see moving forward with Brian Bello and Willier Abreu.
We'll start with Willier. When you look down the Red Sox starting lineup, 1-9, at the end of the season, Willier Abreu is probably going to give you the most offensive production out of anybody on the Red Sox. Rafael Devers is gone. Duran's having a terrible season. Bregman's been hurt for the whole year. So Willier Abreu is probably going to get close to 30 home runs. He's probably going to have the most RBIs at the end of the year. Offensively, I don't think he's an issue. I do think there's a left-handed issue. He's always going to have his struggles against left-handed pitching. But as long as he goes through these hot streaks and he can carry the team on his back for 2 to 3 weeks at a time like he has been, I think he's going to have a spot in this order. I don't want him as your 3-hole hitter. I don't want him as the 4-hole hitter. He's batting 5 or 6. He's a great guy to have in your lineup. And the defense is great on right field. He's already won one gold glove. I think he's going to win many more. I think he's starting to show that he can hit velocity. He's still going to have that left-handed issue, but I don't think it's going to be a platoon. I think going forward, the platoon will be Rep Snyder and Yoshida at DH. And for Bayo, I agree with you. It's a maturity thing. If this was last year or the year before, after that two-run homer, he would have imploded. The Red Sox would have lost that first game no matter what. I think Bayo's fine. I would love to see more swing and miss out of him. I think it's too late for him to, you know, get that now. I think in the minor leagues, we heard a lot more swing and miss coming out of him. More now he's like a high ground ball guy. I think he's up there with like second or third in the league in ground ball percentage. So with the bad defense, it's always going to be an issue for the Red Sox and Bayo. But if the Red Sox ever do get a good defense behind him, he's going to be great, great long term. The strikeout numbers will be down, but I think he'll succeed in Boston for the next 5-6 years. I think the contract will be fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, as my take is that as far as Bayo's concerned, you know, you got to like the contract in terms of what they got him for the years and the money involved. It's really, really good. He has definitely shown some steps of maturity this season. Bayo last year and the year before, if something went wrong, he was kind of John Lackey crying. And you're not really seeing that too much this season. So I think there's a part of that that has matured. I do think that he can continue to do well moving forward for the rest of this season and hopefully be more of a bona fide number three type starter in this rotation. As for Abreu, to both your points, there needs to be some movement on that major league roster, and it's got to happen at this deadline. I just can't see how we can have four starting outfielders for three spots consistently. And I think, quite frankly, Duran has to be the odd man out to be traded. And they might even see someone like Rep Snyder traded. There's been some talk of that as well. But I like what Abreu's been doing. He's one of the few guys that I would say has taken an additional leap this year since last year. There hasn't been many. Connor Wong has regressed. We know Duran has regressed. Rafael has been maybe a tick better, but no one else is really taking another step forward in their development at the major league level. Willie Abreu has both power and pitch selection. His biggest issue is that he needs to get more reps as a hitter against left-handed pitching, which he's not doing. He's still part of that platoon, like both of you have said, and that needs to change and change quickly. Moving forward,
Jim, I got one more thing to say before we wrap up the segment on Abreu and everything with the outfield.
Please.
One of the catalysts last night of the big collapse, I believe it was in the seventh inning, was a miscommunication between Meyer and Roman Anthony in right field. That drop ball that was in right field and then Roman Anthony just kind of lobbing it in instead of throwing it to second base, that was very bad. And you saw right there the growing pains on what it is like right now on getting reps for Roman Anthony on whatever position he's going to play. Me personally, I don't want him in right field. I want him in left field. That's just where I feel he's going to be most comfortable. Maybe that's center field if they figure out something to do with Rafaela. I don't think they're going to do that. But I think what you're going to see here is a shift with Roman Anthony, if he's not DHing, over to left. Because that play last night, I mean, the wheels just came right off last night. There were many plays. But that one right there, that really struck a chord with me and said, where are these fundamentals with this team? Where are they? Because I don't feel like they're getting taught, period, throughout any level of this organization.
Yeah, it was a debacle. And I put a tweet out that I said, Roman Anthony can't play the outfield. And
not right now.
No, he can't. He needs to be in left field. It's an easier position in Fenway Park. And that was just terrible because, you know, he's got to be able to call off Meyer in that situation. And that is something that should be taught at the minor league level, that you as a right fielder or any outfielder, you have to be able to know that you can call off your infielder and then you can catch that ball. So that was just a disaster.
It's your classic example of, again, guys being played out of position. We've talked about this before here, where you just don't have consistency. You know, Meyer's not a second baseman. He's a shortstop, but he's playing there. Roman Anthony, we still really don't know what position he is yet. So there's a lot of figuring out here to do.
Next topic I want to talk about is Masataka Yoshida. He is obviously rehabbing from shoulder surgery. And it seems that they're pushing him forward to potentially a new position, first base. He was supposed to play that yesterday, except for the rain out, and now he was in the outfield today. Is this a creative solution, or do you think this is some kind of stupid move? Nick Diamond, your reaction to that question.
This is a stupid move. If this was a creative situation, a creative move, they would have done this 2 months ago when it first became a problem, when Casas was injured. I think we all agree that there was nothing really wrong with Masataka Yoshida. They were trying to banish him to the minor leagues, pull a Rusney Castillo. They just didn't want him in the lineup. Now there's a hole in the lineup. They could use him. They're going to rush him back. I hope he doesn't play first base. If he plays first base, we're going to have some funny moments out there. He's going to mess up. He's 5'8". It's going to be hard to throw to him. There's no way he can pick it around first base. It's just, it's not going to be good if they ever put him in a major league game at first base. I'm just going to say that now. And I really hope they're smart enough not to, but they probably will.
Nick, face you.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown. Just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
Your reaction to that question?
Yeah, I think it's complete. It's the land of the lost. That's what this organization is. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't. They come up with new stupid ideas every day just to say, this is what we're thinking. This is what we're going to do with our cast-offs to see where the hell we're going to play these people. It's insane. I honestly feel like we're living in an insane asylum watching this team and figuring out what they're going to do next. They are just, it's a travesty. Yoshida at first base.
They said Roman Anthony at first base.
I can't say it with a straight face, Jim or Nick. I can't say it. It's a joke.
So here's my take on it. Can the Red Sox please stop screwing around with every person on their organizational staff in uniform? I mean, this is really becoming ridiculous now. You've had Casas there at first. We're going to go ahead and we have, you know, Christian Campbell. Toro is going to get working out at first base. You're going to have Vaughn Grisham working out at first base. Sheeta at first base. Myers, your shortstop. Put him at third. Put him at second. I mean, this is getting ridiculous now. When are we going to stop this freaking nonsense? Put a guy in a position, let him learn the position, and stay there. I just can't get out of my head that they keep doing this to every single guy. What's the point? If Grissom wasn't going to do it, then give it to Campbell. If he's not going to be the first baseman, but what are we doing here? I mean, are you seriously going to put Grissom at first base on the major league roster? Are you seriously going to have Campbell? Are you going to seriously have Yoshida? I mean, they just put all these guys everywhere and see what the hell floats. It's the most ridiculous thing that I've seen any major league team, no other team does stupid stuff like this. I can't get it out of my head when I first saw him taking grounders. Unbelievable. Anyway, moving on to the next topic. Walker Buehler. Oh, Walker Buehler, high expectations coming in as a free agent signing, $20, $21 million. Figured to be our number two starter. Has a 6.45 ERA now, completely below the expectations that we had. What is wrong with Walker Buehler, and is there time to fix it, or does he need to be demoted to the bullpen or DFA'd? Nick Diamond.
DFA'd. He's just cooked. That's what he is. Going back to last year before the playoffs, he was bad. Good for him. He had a fluky playoff run that got him paid for another year, but he's not a good baseball player anymore. It's unfortunate. He used to be a stud. He reminds me a lot of Tim Lincecum. Short guy, strong legs, hot big stuff, kind of just ran out of gas in his 30s, and it's just, he's not that good anymore. I don't think you can fix him. I'm not putting him in the bullpen. He throws meatballs. 89 down the middle on him right now. It's just, there's no fixing him. I would just either IL him for the rest of the year, maybe you can make something up, or DFA him. You know, maybe another team could try to fix him, let him go somewhere else, but you can't trade him. And the bullpen is just going to make the team worse. So it's either you IL him and make something up or DFA. he can't start again. If he starts again, the team doesn't want to win.
Nick, face your reactions. What do you think? Should we keep him in the rotation, put him in the bullpen, DFA him? What do you believe?
Ask the Dodgers. They know the answer. They gave up. They said they're done. We're moving on. When your LA Dodgers, your premier team in baseball, says you're out of here, bye-bye, you're cooked. What it is, I just think it's velocity, it's location. I think they've tried everything they can with their pitching coach and mechanics and everything, and it's a mechanical failure right there. It just is. I just don't know if Buehler has it in his arsenal to fix what he needs to fix. I think his best days are behind him, unfortunately, from there. And it's kind of comical saying that when you have Clayton Kershaw just go out and throw his get his 3,000 strikeout and everything last night, and they're still working with him and everything. So it's, isn't that ironic?
Yeah, absolutely. So moving forward, so the Red Sox have some pretty big decisions ahead. I know I don't want to get into too much about if they're going to be buyers or sellers, but do you think by the end of this series with Washington and the Colorado Rockies, is that the point of either going for it or selling? Or should they wait even after that and see what happens for the remainder of July? Nick Diamond, your thoughts.
I think you can wait to that Tampa series. If you go, let's say, 5-6 the next six games, and then you get swept by Tampa, then you sell. If you win that series against Tampa, then I think you can go for it. But even then, I don't think they fully go for it. They might add a bullpen arm. They might add a okay first baseman bat, but they're not going to go for it. They're not going to add a stud starting pitcher. They're not going to add a 3 or 4 hole hitter. They're not going to really go for it. So even if they do win 5 of the next 6, I still would sell off Chapman. I would sell off, that's probably all it, Chapman, and then ride from there. I know it makes the team worse, but this team isn't going to win anything if they do get in.
Nick Face, what do you think?
Realistically, I agree with Nick on looking basically at the Tampa series as your defining kind of destination on where you're heading. I don't see this happening with this team because if the Red Sox are going to do something, you know it's not going to be the right way, and it's not going to be the thing that makes the most sense. So we're going to wait until July 31. That's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen. And you will get your cast-offs. You will get your bargain-by-the-bagful dollar store saviors. Oh, well, don't you worry. We're going to put this Band-Aid over here, and this one's going to go to this spot, and they're going to sell this as they improved. And again, it's the Alex Bregman's coming back story, the Yoshida story. He's coming back. Slayton's coming. He's now magically all healthy. We don't have to worry about his arm whatsoever. Leave it to the Red Sox to do that. Leave it to them. Mark my words. That's exactly how that week or that day is going to lead up. We're going to say, why the hell are you still continuing to string us along and thinking that this team is worth buying for? It's what they do.
Yeah, I'm completely on board with that. Switching gears a little bit to the outlook against the National Series. So game one we have tomorrow night, Lucas Giolito against Soroka. In game two, I believe it is going to be Walker Buehler unless something happens in that situation. And in game three, yeah.
We actually have a guest pitcher tomorrow. You didn't hear?
Who's that?
Donald's coming. He's coming.
Yeah. Breaking news out of Washington, D.C. The Red Sox met with President Donald Trump.
Yep, he gave a nice punch in the face and said, get your acts together. huge day in the White House.
At game three, Garrett Crochet, and I'm not sure that the Washington Nationals have set a starter for game three. So question to you, what are your thoughts for this three-game series? How do you think about the pitching matchups? And with Washington at 36, I think, and 50, they seem like they're going to be in seller mode. You know, can we sweep them? Are they going to be kind of like not really into it? What are your thoughts? Nick Diamond, you first.
They should sweep them, but they won't. Just looking at the second series or second game, if Walker Buehler makes that start, you know the Nationals are going to score like 6 in 2 innings. So It'd have to be a huge offensive outburst in game two to win. So I'm going to take 2 out of 3 for the Sox if we're going to take, you know, if we're going to predict them. But realistically, they should sweep. They're the better team. The Nationals have been horrendous in June, at least. I think they lost like 10 straight at one point. So, yeah, they're not a very good team. They have some good players, James Wood, CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, who are missing. So that's good to see. But, yeah, I think the Red Sox, they should sweep, but they won't. Just because Walker Buehler is going to get another start. You could put anyone else out there. Cooper Criswell barely threw. Why can't he make that start?
Nick Face, your thoughts on the upcoming series with the Nationals?
Something's in the air. And what I smell and what I see is a Chicago White Sox series deja vu. That's the sad, honest truth on how I'm sitting here feeling tonight. I don't want that. Because, yes, on paper, the Red Sox, in theory, are better. Tomorrow, we have some adversity, guys. It's an 11 o'clock game. This team sucks under adversity. Sucks. I don't know what side of the bed they're going to wake up with tomorrow, but if that coffee is not poured by 7, 8 o'clock in the morning to get these guys jumpstart and going, I am scared to death on what the hell this lineup is going to do with an 11 o'clock game. I am. I don't think that they win this game. I think the Nationals, at least, they've kind of been there, done this. This has been a tradition for them on 4th of July. And I know we had the marathon game back in April. That's one of our things we do in every year. But still, I just don't think that this team has anything for it. I think they could get a win on Saturday. I do. Just to kind of say, oh, we're sorry for Friday. But the most I see is a 2 out of 3. For the Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I'm looking at a 2 out of 3 winning weekend myself. My question is, I'm not sure which 2 out of 3. I mean, I have to, as a betting man, go
fight with.
Yep, I have to kind of go with the Crochet game just because it's Garrett Crochet. But honestly, I could see Giolito throwing an absolute smelly game tomorrow, and then out of the clear blue, Walker Buehler, for some stupid reason, go 6 innings with 1 earned run. I mean, it's really, honestly, as potluck as that. So I'm not quite sure. I think they'll win 2 out of 3. I'm just not sure which 2 out of 3 it's going to be.
Do you guys have any concern on Crochet after his stinker that he put up last game?
Nick Diamond, you go first.
I don't have any concern about him. I think they're working him too much. But besides that, I don't think the stuff was down. I kind of think he was pitching to the score. They had a 7-run lead early, and he was just trying to get out of there with a lower pitch count, you know? I think he only threw 86 pitches in 6 innings, so I have no worries about Garrett Crochet. If there's one bright spot on this team, it's him.
You know, my thoughts on that, too, and it's funny because I was talking to Thayer Doyle on the right when that game was going on, you know, he says, watch this be a game that Crochet gets lit up a little bit. And lo and behold, you know, it did happen. I'm not too concerned because it's only one outing. Obviously, if this turns into 2, 3, 4 outings in a row, like Buehler has been throwing out there, then we obviously got to look to see if there's some sort of injury. But, you know, I'm not going to worry about one particular game. I just think, you know, the way that the team has been going and how they've been playing, everything's under a microscope, you know, and something like that is obviously going to get everybody nervous and worried that there's something going on and underlying. Obviously, it becomes a bigger, you know, storyline than it really needs to be. But I'm going to agree with Nick Diamond on this one. I'm not going to worry unless I need to worry.
Yeah, if you look at the start closer, he had 10 strikeouts. His velocity was still 99 miles per hour. I mean, there was nothing wrong, really, with him. I mean, he still had 10 strikeouts. He threw the ball pretty well. You might have got a little unlucky. I mean, they still won the game. So if you get spotted 7 runs, you don't care about throwing the ball right down the middle a few times.
I think the biggest thing was location. Yeah, just location with him. I think I'm not worried. So that's why I just kind of asked the question for you guys to see where it is. I just think it was one of those games where just location wasn't on. That's all. That's fixable.
Absolutely. Any closing comments before we wrap up tonight?
Nothing in particular. I mean, you got to win. It's July now. The Red Sox had nobody in the, I guess, the closest all-star starter with Carlos Narvaez, which I don't care about at all. But that's pretty crazy to say that the Red Sox had no one close.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I'm really surprised that no Red Sox starters were starting the All-Star game with how well they've done. Right, Nick Face?
I mean, maybe you could say Bregman, but Bregman's been hurt. So, I mean, there would be one. Duran's been horrible. There's really not, maybe Abreu, but he was hurt a little bit. It hasn't been super consistent.
If I was to say anybody, the All-Star game, but I just think it's crazy how our fan base fanboys are players, and we got nothing. Like, we're not even close.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Romy Gonzalez didn't make it. I was really surprised that Abraham Toro didn't make it.
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised Connor Wong didn't make the
All-Star. I'm stunned. I'm surprised Trump shook his hand today.
You know, and he had that RBI in July or June, right? He had
one RBI.
He's got one
this
RBI
year.
Now. So, I mean,
he does.
He's better than the three of us combined at the major league level.
I'm still better at him with runners in scoring position, though. He's batting zero.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Red Sox Digest. I'd like to thank both Nick Diamond and Nick Face and Donald Trump.
And there you go.
Joining me today.
You're fired.
Please go ahead and subscribe to our digital product at RedSoxDigest.com. That's RedSoxDigest.com. The subscriptions are free, and you can certainly support our work as well on that platform. The last thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to give a shout-out to my good friend, Thayer Doyle, who is part of our podcast. He lost his father this week. I've known Thayer for 47 years, his father for 47 years. He was a great man, and we had the funeral today, and just want to let Thayer know that I'm thinking about him. And go Red Sox, and have a great night. We'll see you all tomorrow.